6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually by Anna Forsyth at E4303. And if you hadn't heard, she'll be leaving me momentarily, like not during the show. But you're like peacing out on me and you're leaving me to my own devices. And as it stands right now, our listeners in 2 weeks' time could very well get a Chris Golden solo show where I speak for 1 hour straight.
I mean, it'd be impressive. Would I listen to it? I guess. I guess it would. But yeah. Hopefully you're not. Hopefully you find a buddy between now and 2 weeks' time.
And if you haven't seen on Twitter, Anna and I put a sort of a call out there to say, hey, you know, are there voices you want to hear join us? One, the voices can join Anna and I in a future show.
Yeah,
or alternatively,
have to be.
Join me and save me from myself in 2 weeks' time. I mean, that's obviously a possibility. I know a friend of the show, Lisa, has already given us her her suggestions as to who, of which all are actually on the list. Our friends down the Highway 99 I-5 there. I would love to have them on right now to talk a little bit about what's going on in their neck of the woods with that team that they cheer for. But I would imagine they are too busy cheering for the team that they cheer for.
Yeah, maybe it'll be when it's all over. Not that we're wishing.
No.
I mean, just on Seattle, but
right. Former host. I mean, I can almost guarantee getting Clay onto the show is easy. The ones that are hard are Matt and Adam.
Matt still has that damn jersey.
Oh, that jerk! You should message him.
Yeah.
Call him out on Twitter. Call him out in Discord.
Because he says, "Oh yeah, next time we see each other, I'll bring it to you."
And he's been avoiding us ever since.
Yeah. He wants to keep the vacuum. Ooh, Lakers jersey, so sucks.
And Adam, I have no clue how to get in touch with Adam because Matt always did the reaching out and connecting with Adam. So
I think I do have his number somewhere, but I don't know. Adam's elusive. He's do-gooding.
He's a
worthy teacher.
Good doer of do-gooding?
Mm-hmm. Which you wouldn't really guess from his appearances on the show, but he is actually kind of a do-gooder.
But there could be a list of other people, and I know a couple reached out saying, hey, I would be interested, so please, if you know of someone that you want to hear us talk to on the show, and it could be a regular, more recurring thing, that's a possibility. Cam Robinson was the other one that Lisa mentioned, and we will get him on. We always do. Every year. It's just his time is precious, as everyone could probably appreciate. And he always makes space for us, but I get it. You know, when the big networks are calling, kind of got to pick up the phone.
Yeah, he's a busy dude as well. Yeah.
But, we're not here to talk about the Vancouver Canucks all that much, because as far as I know, they haven't had an issue with the tee times, though that could get a little bit tougher. In the coming days, now that the craziness that is the first round of the NHL playoffs is all said and done, we'll talk a little bit about the baby Canucks because they are still in action for now. The World Cup of Hockey, World Championship. What is it? I don't know what they call it these days.
The World Championship.
World Championship. Okay. I know
the World Cup of Hockey, it's still up in the air, like it's coming back, but we don't know when.
Yeah, and that's the one that's the NHL driven as opposed to the World Championship. Yeah. And then a new segment which we'll be showcasing this episode, which you'll learn more about it then. Anywho, you know what, let's talk about Rewind. Normally, I mean, we would talk about everything else that's happening that's not related to the Vancouver Canucks and half full, half empty, but it's the NHL playoffs, and I think you're right in the rundown. Playoffs, baby.
Like, it's wild, no? Just it's been so much fun, and I'm already exhausted. So round one finished just before we started recording, and I'm already like done.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't wild for the wild.
No, but is it ever?
But I mean, when you look at this, the way all the different series sort of played out, the one as to which I said would be an upset was the quickest of the bunch.
Right. You picked out Vegas, Winnipeg.
Yeah, I said Jets were gonna squeak through there.
I think I might have also picked that as an upset, but I definitely didn't think it would be over and done quickly.
No, and with a head coach who calls out his team by saying they just didn't have the compete, they weren't there and whatnot, that'll be a real fun season next year when Bones is back behind the bench.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of like Torts, very passionate dude, mm-hmm. but definitely makes his feelings known.
Oh, yeah.
I think we can safely say that neither of us picked our good friends in Seattle to advance.
I want them to, but
yeah.
How will they get past a Colorado Avalanche team that just has the pedigree they do? And, well, Seattle found a way. I mean, I do wish Seattle had found a way in Seattle. Like, if you weren't paying attention to the series, Seattle was up 3-2. Game six in Seattle, and I would have loved to have heard Nirvana all night long, but they got it done in Colorado.
I don't think they're too picky about it. Yes, the scoring depth really told in the end. Avs had some key missing people, and they just, yeah, the scoring depth wasn't going like it was in Seattle, so yeah.
We already talked a little bit about the Wild being out. Dallas got through. That wasn't too difficult on behalf of the Stars. And yeah, 4-2, you might say, well, that was competitive. It felt like Dallas was going to win and the Wild were doing everything in their power to try to hold on. Like it wasn't like if the Wild had won, I mean, as much as it's a 2-3 matchup, that would have felt more like an upset.
Yeah.
But Dallas won, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about that series. I watched a little bit of it, but it's the Wild. They're just not that exciting to watch.
No. The other series in the West, you had the Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings, who played some very entertaining hockey. Like, was there a game in that series that wasn't all sorts of crazy?
I don't think so. This was so much fun. I wonder if this is probably the series I watched the most of. Maybe like.
Well, I mean, the timing works out for us because it was always the late game.
But it was just, yeah, it was really exciting. Did I like want LA to win? Sort of. I think it was more just I wanted Edmonton to lose than I wanted LA to win. Hmm. But yeah, even with Connor McDavid taking a little while to get going there.
It wasn't really until game six, game five, which was the one he had the two goals that.
I think that was game five, but.
Yeah, it's such a blur because like this series was wild from the get-go, Kings in overtime, Edmonton pissed off, wins game two. Kings in OT at home, Edmonton. In OT in LA, Edmonton lights out back at home, and then that game six. My goodness, that was goaltending optional that game. But that said, I mean, Edmonton found a way to channel their inner 80s, and they figured out how to win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I really think this series was definitely not decided on the goaltending. Like, Jack Campbell had some decent saves, but, like, overall, I still do not rate him as a, like, first-class goalie. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in the next round here, whether that's going to come back to bite them against Vegas, so.
Yeah, I'm looking through. So, it wasn't game five that he got his two goals. He had two assists. Game six was one goal, one assist. I thought that Maybe it was the game previous.
I thought you were right too, so I don't know.
But anyhow,
as we know, Conor McDavid's bum, Draisaitl's much better.
So that sets up the West to have Vegas taking on Edmonton, which, if Edmonton continues to play like they played against the Kings, I feel this will be another entertaining series. But I'm giving the nod to Vegas at this point.
Yeah, it's hard. I did think, like, I really thought Winnipeg would be more of an obstacle than they ended up being. But yeah, maybe all is not right in Manitoba. Like, not the happiest dressing room, maybe.
That's next year's problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop with Vegas, and maybe we'll get through again. I think it really depends on that offense, really. If Edmonton keeps scoring at the click they are, then maybe it won't matter.
Well, and that's the thing. If Edmonton continues to produce the offense, that's what makes this series much more dynamic. If Edmonton's offense dries up, Vegas goes through.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle, they're going to take on the Stars, and this is another situation where I would love for Seattle to beat the Stars, but I don't necessarily see that happening. And again, you might say, hey, Chris, you didn't think that they were going to get through against the Avalanche. True. And I hope Seattle can prove me wrong, but Dallas just seems to me to have more firepower, a better, obviously, pedigree. They're riding off a clean, 4-2 series against the Wild. They've had extra time to recover from that. Not always a good thing, but
arguably the best goalie left in the playoffs because all the goalies of note are gone.
Yeah. The interesting part, though, is like when I start looking further down, like let's say Dallas does win, I don't see Dallas beating Vegas. And if Edmonton if Edmonton gets through Vegas, that's like, I feel the Edmonton Vegas winner is the representative in the West in the Stanley Cup.
I agree. So, yeah, obviously, like we have to go to the East, the elephant in the room, or the two elephants in the room.
Obviously, the Florida Panthers listen to our show.
Yeah.
If you had told me that, oh no, Chris, this is going to go seven, I would have seriously wondered if you had mistaken the Florida Panthers for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't predict any sweep, but I'm pretty sure I said five.
Yeah, I think you gave them a win. I said it was a 3-0 and that Florida would give up. But all credit to the Florida Panthers, they played as if they had nothing to lose, which in their position, they quite frankly didn't. But some curious decisions from Boston. Like, I don't understand why Ullmark doesn't start game seven. Like, I don't think I heard anything about an undisclosed injury or anything like that. Like, it's not like Ullmark cost them the game in game six. And I'm not suggesting that that's the difference for game seven. But Florida goes and gets themselves that early, two-goal lead.
Yeah.
And when Boston stormed back and scored that go-ahead goal in the third period. Yeah, I was just like,
oh, it's over.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Florida found a way. And once Florida tied it up, I'm like, oh, the Panthers are winning this. Like, I genuinely did not feel that Boston was going to be able to recover from that. Was it a minute 30 or something left on the clock when that tying goal went in?
Right. Yeah. It's just, honestly, it was amazing. I didn't watch Game 7. I was tracking it. But, like, Boston, when they were good, they were so good that it was just hard to see them losing that series. It's not like they fell apart in game one onwards, but
no. Yeah. And like when we look at the series, I mean, really, I feel it came down to Florida being competitive, but Boston making mistakes that Florida was able to capitalize on. And that was the difference. Like, it wasn't like Florida won per se. More so it felt to me like Boston found a way to lose. I mean, heck, game seven, how many times was Boston getting anxious on the puck? Giveaways galore. Like, the number of times Florida is turning it around on an on-man advantage or going immediately back in the offensive zone is unbelievable. That's not the type of playoff hockey you expect in the NHL. It's not the type of hockey you expect from the team that did as well in the regular season as the Boston Bruins did.
Yeah, and obviously, like, people are comparing it to the Lightning, Columbus, and, like, we know it's different. Like, Boston were way more dominant. But it's so funny to me that, like, immediately after they lost, like, they had people coming out saying, we got to change how they set up the playoffs. Because this can't happen. And it's just, like, hilarious to me.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely can't happen that you're up 3-1 and you lose a series. Just can't happen. I've never seen it happen before.
Yeah. Too funny.
Anyhow, regardless, Boston's out, Florida's in, all praise be to the Panthers. So who is it that they get to take on? Well, in a series of the Lightning and the Maple Leafs, which arguably it was an entertaining series in its own right. Toronto found a way to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I think that's the way the celebrations were. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Like, the parade went down Yonge Street this weekend, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's huge. It is a milestone getting beyond the first round. Hilarious that it actually, like, ends up being that way.
Is it 19 years since their last playoff round win?
It's crazy.
And I mean, the series was crazy. Game one, Toronto loses 7-3?
Yeah.
I think. And then game two,
turn it around, 7-2.
Yeah, victory. Like, because I was watching the comments come in Discord for game one, and I you know, I've seen these, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And then I'm like, okay, it's over. Toronto's toast. And then they go and they return the favor on the, I think, the Thursday, if I recall. And
yeah.
Oh my, that series was crazy, but it was entertaining. And if you look at the entire first round, I don't recall, and as an entertaining round of first round of hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I can remember. I mean, there's entertaining series, but to have really only one of the series just be a rollover?
Yeah.
Or 1.5, because I guess Dallas, Minnesota, kind of too, but.
But, like, they just, every big moment, it was Toronto that rose up. Like, that OT win, what was game three? Yeah. Yeah, game three. Like, I was like, Tampa way better than Toronto, like, for the majority of that game. But it was just, like, the Leafs picked them moment. And, yeah.
3 out of 4 wins were an OT for Toronto.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that had
clutch.
You win big games, you get big results. And the Toronto Maple Leafs are in the driver's seat. I'm not going to be as bold to say they beat the Panthers 3-0. made that mistake already once. I hate to say it, but I think Toronto beats the Panthers in 6.
Yeah. I'd love to see the Panthers upset again.
Get all the rats thrown on the ice. Get Shorty and was it Shorty and Cheech, I think, for that game before Cheech had to disappear. Millen stepped in. Although I saw that Cheech had a prior commitment. It wasn't because of crazy reasons. But yeah, that was a great comment. The fans are throwing rats in the ice. We're not talking about the players. We're not talking about the Bruins or something like that.
Yeah, I think, like, ultimately, Toronto does it again. I mean, I don't think they're, I'm not giving them a shot at the cup here, but.
Well, okay, so.
I mean, they have a shot, but.
They have, because, I mean, when we look at the next series, so you have the Carolina Hurricanes got past the New York Islanders 4-2. Bo Horvat. seemed that he was playing for Vancouver in the series.
Yeah.
Playoff Bo wasn't present.
Where in the world is Bo Horvat? Yeah.
And I am a big Playoff Bo supporter. Not that we saw Playoff Bo all that often here in Vancouver. But when we did, it was like he, you know, flipped a switch. And I compared him to how Trevor Linden became Playoff Trevor. Playoff Bo just wasn't present in Long Island. He wasn't the problem, but not having Bo Horvat produce definitely hurt the Islanders there. Carolina is a good looking team.
Yeah. I will say that if you compare the rosters, like Carolina should eat, like, I think they should have got out a lot easier than they did. Like 4-2, sure, they're still dominant, but like that could have easily been a sweep if you're looking at the teams, like Islanders limping in to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do predict Carolina to like get increasingly stronger.
Because Carolina's got to take on Jersey. So this was an entertaining series. I mean, I've repeated this ad nauseum. Came down to a game 7 where it could have gone either way, but apparently Jersey plays with an edge that the Rangers don't. I mean, Rangers had Liam Neeson on their side, but it wasn't enough.
I know. Yeah, you'd think. I only watched the last 10 minutes of this game 7, but like, what the heck? Where did New York go?
Where did they go? I don't know. When I turned it on, it was already 2-0, and you could tell like the Rangers were done. Like they weren't even playing desperate hockey at this point.
Yeah.
It was as if, yeah, well, we're out. And that's very surreal to see happen. I get that it's game 7. I get that you have a significant hill to climb, but there was still a fair amount of time on the clock. You get a goal. All you need is one to change the dynamic. You're back into it. Instead, it was like, oh, look, New Jersey scored a third goal. And like a minute or two later, hey, number 4.
Yeah.
And then, then it was done.
Literally first two games, they win 5-1. Like, I don't understand how you're that dominant and you like lose 2 of the last 3 games 4-0. Like, oh, it was just lame.
Yeah. But it kind of felt similar to how Vancouver and Boston played in 2011. Like you have this sort of home ice advantage that sort of continues to go back and forth, which, you know, when you see that type of dynamic, 7 games always seems to play out. But then something changed when Jersey goes and beats the Rangers, and I felt like the Rangers just couldn't recover.
Yeah.
And I should say this, it's the reverse. Maybe too much pressure, but.
Yeah. I mean, and just what a showing from Schmid, who's name I had a handful of times before this series, definitely thought it was Schmidt, and was just like, how do we have another Schmidt? But
Akira. Yeah.
Akira Schmidt, what a name.
Yeah. Quinn cheering on his brother wearing camouflage.
Yeah, I was gonna say, was he cheering on his brother or was he just present in the arena?
Well, it's hard to tell with Quinn. Like, how often do we see emotion from him? But then he went to throw down at the end of the season for the Vancouver Canucks. So, yeah, you know, maybe we're going to see more of it next season. But regardless. So that gives you the Canes and Devils. Canes, I think, get past the Devils. I think that goes 6. That has Hurricanes, Leafs, East. And I can't give Toronto a Stanley Cup.
Nope.
So it's going to be the Canes.
Canes Oilers final? Is that what we're saying?
Well, see, the problem is you and I both tossed up the Vegas Oilers, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel okay. Vegas beats the Oilers. I feel okay, I got to. I'm going to give
Vegas
it.
Canes.
Yeah. So Vegas Canes. I mean, Edmonton, Carolina. That works too. But
yeah. I gotta okay. Give it to I'll Vegas. Say I'm saying Edmonton, Carolina.
Okay. Let's see how wrong we are in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Well, you won't. You won't be here, but I will. I should have gone back and listened to the last episode just when we were talking about predictions, just so I had it straight. But if we got any of that wrong with what we were thinking, memory loss, what would you say? It's been 2 weeks. But the NHL playoffs aren't the only playoffs of interest. The AHL playoffs are in progress. The Calder Cup is available to be grabbed. When we last spoke to you, the Baby Canucks had 3 games at home against, was it Bakersfield?
Uh-huh.
And made short work of said Bakersfield, which meant they get to continue on. And they are taking on the Calgary Wranglers, is it?
Correct.
My goodness, for a guy that doesn't pay attention to the A, I've heard a few things. And if I am still sort of remembering correctly, the Baby Canucks aren't out of it yet because it's a best of five, but they are down 2-0. And if they want to win, the way to win it is at home because the next three are in Abbey.
Yes. So correct. Ding, ding, ding. Right across the board. So they just like the reverse of last year when they went to Bakersfield and lost their two opening games and crashed out of the playoffs. Abbotsford, beat Bakersfield pretty convincingly, honestly. In both games, there were some sketchy moments, but overall, I was pretty happy with how they played in the first round. The second round, honestly, Calgary is so good. Like, they're the best team in the AHL.
Has it been close?
Yeah, they're both both OT losses, but they don't draw pictures on the score sheet.
No, they don't
get an extra point for that.
But I mean, if it was definitively Calgary over Abbey, I sort of was getting
that. No, I would say what's worrying is like Calgary has kind of had Abbotsford's number all season up until the end of the season when Abbotsford finished the regular season against Calgary and split the series, I believe. But yeah, they, you know, were very dominant in a couple of games against them. So you're hoping they kind of finally figure it out. But Calgary good. They are just very good. And Abbotsford, the first game was much more respectable because they were behind and got back into it. Whereas on Friday, they scored 3 unanswered goals after Calgary opened the scoring and then lost in overtime. So
that hurts.
It's not like it's not good momentum. Obviously, no. Friday and Wednesday, that's a big gap. And coming home, they have a huge home crowd, great atmosphere. People are really into the playoffs. So that's all good things. But
where do the Wranglers play? Is it in the Saddle Dome?
It's in the Saddle Dome, yeah.
Oh, wow. They get a good crowd out for it, or?
I don't think it was as big, obviously, because, I mean, Abbotsford are playing in a tiny arena.
Well, no, I mean, I get that, like, the Saddle Dome has greater potential. It's just the Abbotsford Entertainment Center is a more, I don't know, appropriate spot for an A team.
Right. But they play very entertaining hockey.
And yeah, I'm not taking that away. It's just...
No. But yeah, also, if you just want to amuse yourself, just have a look at the last names of all the Calgary Wranglers, because it's just a good, fun game of... No, not that one.
McLean, Sutter, Jones, Bishop, Phillips, Gallant, Rooney.
I think there is a famous or well-known NHLer for almost every... One
Pullman,
Calgary, the other Pullman brother,
Kuznetsov.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. Sorry, I had to go pull it up.
It is funny because sometimes you watch AHL games and you're like, oh, I did wonder what happened to that player. It turns out they're playing in the A. Hmm. But no, it's just a load of other players with the same last name. Some of them related. I mean, the Sutters are Sutter. And Pullman is Tucker's brother, but...
Yeah. Speaking of Sutters, Calgary decided that Darryl's second stint was enough.
Yeah. I mean, things were going to change. You just... It seemed like they were done. Like, they were like, oh, no, the front office sucks.
Well, Trevelyan was shown his papers earlier, and generally speaking...
2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, generally speaking, GM's out, the coach doesn't survive. It's very rare that it occurs. I mean, in Vancouver it did when Gillis came on and kept Vigneault. But in that scenario, Gillis had been provided every opportunity if he wanted to have his own coach. Gillis just not your prototypical hockey guy in that sense and made a bold decision. What's interesting is he only got one opportunity to replace a coach. GMs normally get a few coaches before they're sent on their way. But here in Vancouver, we have an unconventional owner who, you know, part times is a president of hockey operations, assistant general manager, head scout, alternate coach, yeah. Probably strength and conditioning. I don't know.
But seriously, like Calgary's just had a major failure to live up to their potential in the last year. Like they had such a good season. You have lost, and
not enough former Vancouver Canucks players. Hey, there's one named JT Miller who might be available. Though I've seen people suggest
a lightly used
Boston. Boston could use a player like JT. And now that the Rangers are out, there have been a handful of people who are like,
I mean, obviously,
could you imagine the New York Rangers with JT Miller on their lineup?
Two Millers, twice the fun.
Oh man, he's a Canuck. He's not getting dealt. There ain't no way.
I mean, it's a long off season. I agree, but I just hate, like, stop reporting these rumors. They need to be, like, pretty solid before they're reported, because you're just going to get our hopes up.
I mean, every team that just got eliminated from the first round of the playoffs needs a JT Miller and would have gone through had they had JT on their roster.
Yeah.
Heck, I agree. Toronto could have JT for all in care. And you know what? Maybe Toronto wins the Stanley Cup then.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Let's take ourselves. Yes. Well, I was going to say, you got more to say about the
Canucks? No, I was just going to sum up the Abbotsford predicament that they find themselves in. So, as you're listening to this on Tuesday, game 3 is on Wednesday in Abbotsford. Game 4, we hope, is on Friday. And hopefully, game 5, Sunday. Hopefully, Abbott can turn this around.
You won't be here in 2 weeks' time to report it, so.
No, I will have to say that I'm not super confident. Calgary is just such a tough team to play against, and honestly, I can see them winning the Calder this year for sure.
Well, if you're going to lose, it's better to lose to the champion. Mm-hmm. Speaking of champions, champions take breaks. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Caps Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
So if you've been paying attention to the Vancouver Canucks, Elias Pettersson had said he was going to go play in the World Championship. And, you know, as many players do when they find themselves not in, the playoff picture, including some players who find themselves on the outside looking in after the first round. But a understated, and that's probably not a word, but I'm going to make it one, fact about this is that the players need to ensure that they are insured to take part in national programs. Now, in some cases, the national program will acquire said insurance and in turn pay for it or come up with an arrangement with the player. Not all the time, though. And in this particular scenario, they couldn't get PD insurance. As a result, the risk that PD would take is if he were to go and play and suffer an injury of any sort. It doesn't actually have to be significant. Suffers an injury of any sort, he actually puts his NHL contract into a very sticky predicament and could be found in violation of said contract, which carries with it some significant penalties to the player. This means PD no in world championship because he got no insurance.
Yeah. I mean, so Pedersen, 1 year left on his contract. You can insure that. That's possible. Mm-hmm. That's doable.
It's the beyond.
But it's the beyond. As I think the Swedish GM or I can't remember if it's GM or the coach of the team said, yeah, how do you insure something that doesn't exist yet? And it's like, well, you can't. That is not feasible. Sure, you can put a price on it, but you're asking Sweden and their insurers to.
Well, I'm certain there's a broker in the UK that would be more than happy to provide a quote on PD's future.
Yeah. I mean,
they'll assure about anything in the UK.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's true. I will say, yeah, I just.
J-Lo insured her butt, and the policy was held by, I think, like Barclays or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, I was going to say, I was like, she is a gnar problem, but I totally believe that. Yeah, and like, and I feel like that's the, but isn't that an argument you make when something happens as to what the future earnings would be? I don't know. Well, I just feel like I'm not a big champion of, in any sport, of people playing for the national team, because it doesn't really mean anything to me, national teams. But I do feel sorry for him. And I feel sorry for Sweden.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to math, like an actuary table. We're not going to do deep math here, but like there's an actuary table that would determine based on his current earnings and his like current statistical level, he would be on target to make Y through to X. The problem is that you can't insure the lower of the range. You have to insure the higher of the range.
Yeah.
And therein lay the issue, because now that you're the higher of the range is probably well beyond his ceiling, that carries with it a big cost. And then on the substantial side of how the length of term would be and what have you. So just, it's the unknown that costs you so much more. But it sucks. I'm actually, like, if I was given an opportunity to play for Canada, I don't know what in tiddlywinks, but let's say I was afforded that opportunity, I would love for that. I would love to be in a nationally competitive experience where I am standing and hearing the anthem played. And I'm not talking about like, well, hey, Chris, you go on about the anthem before a Canucks game. That's not a national commitment. Mm. It might be a national pastime, but that to me, that's not what I'm saying. It would be like, you know, on the Olympic stage, the world championship stage, you know, World Cup. Like when I hear the anthems in front of like a Whitecaps match, like, eh. But when they start to play internationally, I can, okay, I get it. But even then I'm like, the Whitecaps aren't Team Canada. Still kind of, eh. Yeah, I feel bad for PD as you do.
Yeah, that would be a fun thing for him to do. Yeah, I'm always scared about players getting injured and whatnot, but.
And yeah, injuries do happen at this stage. Like we've seen some pretty catastrophic injuries occur in Olympic tournaments that then have significant implications to the, you know, players' NHL team.
Yeah. It happens. It's bad. I mean, Ethan Bear's going, Connor Gollan's going. They're important, but they're not as important. They're not PD, so.
Insurance rate's probably not as high.
Yeah. Especially if you're insuring per square inch.
Mm. I wonder if like each toe, each finger, or do they get like a package deal?
Yeah. I wonder. Do you think, yeah.
Do they have a rider for like alien abduction while playing for the world championships? Because I know in the UK you can get insured for fear of alien abduction, which honest to goodness, I don't understand how anyone were to ever go and find a way to prove abduction has taken place.
Yeah, I don't know.
And insurance companies, they're not in the business of paying money. They really don't like it.
No, it's true. Where are the world championships?
I don't know. You think this is a professional podcast? I think there's 192 other Vancouver Canucks podcasts out there that have a higher professional rating than C4 okay. does. But none of them
Finland
are
and
running.
Latvia. Finland and Latvia.
Hmm.
Yeah. Co-hosted.
When does it get underway? Should be pretty quick.
May 12th.
Huh. Okay.
Runs for 2 weeks. So.
I mean, I could be wrong here, but I always thought it started near the end of the first round. And it's not like this first round went quick. It went the max. So
yeah, I don't know, but it's the schedule's been messed up for such a long time that I forget what normal is.
Yeah,
because even the lottery
World Juniors aren't happening again this summer.
Yeah, exactly.
And again in the winter.
I mean, who would go? But yeah, the lottery is usually around my birthday, but it's not till next weekend.
Yeah.
So we wait and we see.
Anywho. Got you all caught up in Canucks news. We are going to dive into our newest segment, Dream Team. This was an idea that you came up with, and in dreaming it to life, you then had an issue or two trying to share it with me, but you eventually did. But the way Dream Team is sort of structured is that it's your sort of best of such and such.
Yeah. So you pick a qualifier, a descriptor, that's your theme for the week, and you can make your best lineup.
Hmm.
So yeah. I like
this week's theme because I'm like, well, how many of them do I know and can I put together a team?
Yeah. So I'll explain because I will chuck myself under the bus here because I got so excited when the Panthers started coming back against the Bruins that I got my Tkachuks mixed up. And I think to me, Brady Tkachuk is just synonymous with the playoffs, and that's because he was the best cheerleader of all time, even though he decided that he doesn't like Florida that much. But yeah. So because one of the ideas they came up with was common hockey names. And I was like, there's so many Bradys. God, there's got to be so many Bradys, Bradens, all the different spellings. And I just Googled a couple and I was like, yeah, there's tons. And then I actually stopped putting it together. And I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. You can get a best of every, you can get like a best of a couple positions, but actually it's kind of hard.
Well, I mean, fairness, like when we think of like, to use this on like goaltenders, Holtby?
Braden Holtby.
I mean, you could say Braden Holt, but he's not old enough to play in the NHL quite yet and doesn't have the career that, you know, Holtby has under his belt. So I think you can, with a stretch, get maybe a position covered, but it's just that there won't be a player of pedigree. It'll be a player of the name worked.
Yeah. So I definitely thought this was be better. So I do think we're going to have some better when we better qualifies down the
line. Okay, so I mean, we can both go with Holtby as our goaltender, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Holtby, 100%. And then defense.
Hmm.
I had Braden McNabb of the Vegas Golden Knights. And then Braden Schneider of the New York Rangers.
Hmm.
It's not a terrible choice, but not the best choice either. I'm like, is there anyone our listeners can come up with? Because defense was hard. Forwards are somewhat easier.
Well, if we go with Brady, you've got, is it Brady Skye, I think, or Skye?
Brady Skye, yeah. Right. That's true. Okay. Yeah, that counts.
So, I mean, okay. I could have. I think I'd go with Brady Skye in that spot. That was the one that I'd come up with.
That's good. Otherwise, we're getting Brady Keeper from the Abbotsford Canucks.
Who hey, I got no problems with Brady Keeper, but.
Great guy, but. Yeah. Yeah, yet to play an NHL game. Okay. Obviously, the man that inspired the list had to go in at left wing, Brady Tkachuk.
Yep, agreed.
And then the center to me is pretty easy as well. You see what I'm driving at?
Nope.
Okay, Braden Point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. To me, I think that's the hook, line, and sinker there. Right wing's harder.
Well, see, I mean, Braden Point could be your right wing. He has played
well,
on the right.
Well, I was going to say the option.
And slapping Braden Schenn as your center.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is both Braden Point and Braden Schenn have I think Braden Schenn's played all four positions. So he's pretty versatile. So, yeah, one of them is going to just have to play in the second position.
Yeah. This is, as you noted, this is harder.
Yeah.
Than you thought.
I did kind of put in a like last minute addition of maybe we should include Brendan's, but then that's just a different game.
True. But I think I actually like this exercise. I think this is something that we could do collaboratively with our community. Yeah. In fact, like if you as a listener were like, hey, what would be your dream team of this? Again, it can be any such and such. Don't say, oh, what's your dream team of something so obscure that Google can't help us, but
or something really obvious, like don't just say Hall of Famers or something. Like,
well, I mean, you could, but then it's, I think,
yeah, like
the differences. I mean, actually, there would be differences, I think, but whether it'd be significant, I don't know. But
whether you want to do like, I don't know, like people from the non-hockey nations, you know, like. Hmm. Not America, Canada, Sweden, Russia. Like, maybe that's one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was going to say, like, you know, I'm thinking old school. Like, you know, dream team of hockey mustaches.
Yeah, that's a great one.
The difficulty there, though, is that we would probably miss out on quite a few because the player didn't really ever cross our radar at any point, but...
But I really hope someone's written an article about best mustaches in hockey.
Oh, I'm certain. Flavor savers are always a popular topic.
Yeah, so we can dig into that. So if you have any ideas for qualifiers, and if you have your own Brendan Brady team, go ahead.
I have to give a shout out to TSN's Kelsey Braid, growing his flavor shaver. He's flavor saver. He's really trying to channel his inner Jim Van Horn.
Yeah, Cheech obviously had a great mustache.
Yeah, he did, but
and has
not on TSN and
no,
no, not Jim Van Horn-esque. Cheech had a good stash though. I'm gonna miss Cheech on Canucks broadcasts. We didn't actually talk about this, and this is something that came up in Game 7 when he didn't make an appearance, and people are like, oh my goodness, why is Cheech not there for Game 7? And it came out that he had a family commitment. It sounds like Rogers, Sportsnet, they don't have a problem with Cheech, which then has me wondering, did the Vancouver Canucks potentially suggest that they wanted someone different? Which would blow my mind.
If that's the case, that's just like the dumbest decision in a series of dumb decisions.
And the thing about this has happened before. The Vancouver Canucks as an organization have expressed a desire for different personalities. It's worked in both directions. When the radio rights holder went from NW to team, I think it would have been, and then team to 650, the Canucks said, here's the radio crew. Like that's who you have. You don't get to have someone else. Like, that has happened. So it wouldn't be out of the realm of reason that they didn't suggest this. But hey, again, I don't know for certain. Just throwing it out
yeah.
there.
I think where this story will continue to rumble on.
It'd be interesting to see if Cheech and Shorty get a round two spot.
Yeah. But that's so, like, honestly, just, you kind of want to show everyone just being like, how good they are. Just be like, if we can't get them anymore, you guys should just see how good they are.
Yeah. Anyhow, book club. We have read and discussed somewhat Fighter. It is still a conversation taking place in the C4 Book Club channel and Discord, but you were of the mind that maybe we should talk about a new book coming up.
Yeah. I'm going to get us going on a second book, and then I'm hoping the community picks our third, and so on and so forth, and we keep going. And this is a cheat book because I've already read it, but also I am going home for 2 weeks, so I'm hoping, yeah, I may not have that much time to read, but I think it's a really important book to read and really interesting following on from Fighter is to read Boy on Ice. By John Branch, and that's about Derek Bogard. And obviously an outside view, but I think it gets real, like, there's a lot of intimate details in it, and it's a really interesting take on the role of the enforcer and the NHL's complicity in painkiller addictions and other kinds of substance addictions in the league. So, yeah, that's going to be, yeah, I think it's a really good read. It's a tough read, but so is Fighter, and I think that's an interesting one to go on to. And if people have more cheery books or less bleak books that we can read as our book three, please throw them into Book Club on Discord.
Cool. Speaking of Discord, if you haven't already joined it, discord.io/C4podcast is the place to go. Click the link. If you don't have a Discord account, you'll be asked to set one up. But then once you do, you can take part in a conversation that happens each and every day, primarily about food. So for instance, we know that Anna ordered herself a Big Mac to help with the, you know, day after a great night.
Yeah, the post-birthday blues. Yes, well, somewhat quashed by the Big Mac from McDelivery because I couldn't even be bothered to leave my house.
Yeah, and, you know, Scott, he commented, you know, y'all got to be one of the smallest Discord servers, which I read this and I'm like, really? Which is true, but really? And the most prolific food channels in any of my servers. Damn straight.
Yeah.
It's all about the chow.
Yeah. Honestly, sometimes we talk about food because we don't want to talk about the Canucks, but... there's some really good cooks.
And you find listeners. You still find ways to give me heck about some of the meals that I make. That lemon garlic parmesan chicken I made, honey glazed carrots, like, it was phenomenal.
I think you had just set the bar so high on your first Let Chris Cook that I was just like, yeah, it was okay. It didn't photograph as well. Sorry.
I'll have to choose another filter next time. But it tasted great. It was like the lemon garlic chicken and then like the parmesan, like, it's just, oh, very good. But we have other channels too. Please join, take part in the conversation, hang out with us, and help make it not the smallest Discord servers out there. You can also follow us, obviously, on all the social medias. We are at the C4 Podcast, wherever, which way you can find us, on our website. Our entire back catalog is c4podcast.com. It's been a long time since we got a voicemail. If you want to drop us a message, it's very easy to do. You just need to go to speakpipe.com/C4podcast. You can record it from whatever device you are on, your phone, your computer, your tablet. I don't think you can use a rotary phone.
But please try.
Could you imagine trying to use a rotary phone to spell a URL?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's when you text a landline and the robot lady reads it out and it's just the most terrifying experience. It just feels like you're in a horror movie. So
yeah, it's a horror movie for your fingers trying to spell a URL on a rotary phone. And there are people out there that are listening to the show, and maybe you yourself, Anna, may not have had the experience of spelling things on a rotary phone.
it's true. I haven't. I know what it is.
Yeah. I grew up in an era where spelling things on a rotary phone, like a postal code, like if you were to call into like the Canadian government or something and you needed to provide a postal code, you had to spell it. And when it comes to spelling, it's based on numeric values and such. It sucked.
I mean, I thought I had it bad for just like having to text with like tapping out the numbers. I'm literally holding up my really old phone that I use when
it's the same concept. It's just it's a rotary dial, and you have to wait for it to go back. Exactly.
Exactly. That's so much worse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I grew up in that era, and I had it good because there were others that had to actually, it was probably easier for them. They just rang it. Hello, operator. Can you get me to Romeo 62? And you just talk to people all the time. There was no dial.
Yeah, granted, I still find that baffling.
Operator is probably listening into all your conversations, but hey,
yeah,
the government's listening into it today. So it doesn't really matter. Please don't shadow ban us for, you know, spreading misinformation. Our entire podcast is built on the premise of misinformation and information, and we can't make hide nor hair which is which. No?
Sure.
Okay. Disclaimer. I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, not a lawyer.
And Sam's not here because she keeps telling me that she's not our lawyer either.
Yeah. A shame.
Yeah. So, Anna, any final words of wisdom before you ditch me for a month?
I know. Well, I'll be back. Not next episode, but the one after.
Which is a month from now.
It is a month from now. So all kinds of things will have happened by that point. But, like, yeah. Watch the Abbotsford Canucks. Like, they could have one game left of that season, so.
Well, they have one game for sure. They might have more than one.
They might have more than one. But, like, keep enjoying the playoffs, man. Like, if take this opportunity to watch some electric hockey, you know? Might be a while before we get it in Vancouver, so.
Oh, it'll be a while. Final words of wisdom for me. I really enjoyed having the depressive Canucks fan Twitter thread conversation with a few OG people from the Canucks Twitter sphere this past weekend. That was good fun. Dropping the various different gifs about being sad and depressed and all that jazz. And then suddenly I throw like Top Gun in and suddenly people are happy. But there's a real way to go dark quick with Top Gun. And I went there and we're all depressed again.
I see. Very good.
So, I mean, that was fun. But in all reality, if you know someone who wants to hang out, join me on the show. Let me know. Let Anna know who it is. Let them know that you want them on our show. Make those connections. We'll make it happen. Otherwise, it's Chris all day long. And I have done that on this show before, I believe around the holiday season. And I think in the early days, I think there was an episode where Clay couldn't make it and I recorded a show on my own. Anywho. On behalf of Anna, A4603, myself, Chris at Lightforce, signing off this episode with We Out.